You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400, or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show during our sustainable pledge drive, where you can help make sure local community radio continues by making a donation at wgxc.org/donate. And it's our sustainable pledge drive because we're announcing that we are going solar. As the price of oil skyrockets and it becomes more and more necessary to free ourselves from the control of large corporations and foreign despots who control the oil and energy industry, going solar and using wind energy and other natural resources is going to help the planet survive in the future. And we want you to also make WGXC sustainable and survive in the future by making a donation at wgxc.org/donate. Today on the WGXC Morning Show, we will hear from the Ukrainian-Russian Ladies Book Club of Albany. We'll hear from Katya and Natalia, two Russian members, about their perspective on the war in the Ukraine. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Brendan J. Lyons and Kenneth C. Crowe II are reporting for the Times-Union. that dozens of Rensselaer County workers and others have been served with federal grand jury subpoenas as part of a building FBI investigation focused on the filing of absentee ballots in elections over the past 2 years. The subpoenas for federal grand jury testimony later this month have been issued to rank-and-file county workers as well as to Jason Schofield, the Republican commissioner for the county's Board of Elections. Sources said the subpoenas were served on people who may have done campaign work or who had absentee ballots issued on their behalf. Quote, "I can't really discuss anything," unquote, Schofield said March 8th. The latest series of subpoenas came after a group of subpoenas requesting documents from the Rensselaer County Board of Elections were served on February 3rd. They were served on the county days after FBI agents seized the mobile phones of County Operations Director Richard W. Crist and Jim Gordon, the county's Director of Purchasing. Both men are political allies of County Executive Steve McLaughlin. The seizures took place the same day McLaughlin appeared in Rensselaer County Court for a pretrial conference in an unrelated criminal case involving the alleged theft and misuse of campaign funds. McLaughlin has pleaded not guilty to two felony charges in that case. Federal investigators are examining Gordon's role in gathering absentee ballots at a public housing complex in Lansingburg. State police investigators were reviewing Crist's involvement with absentee ballots in the Rensselaer mayoral race. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that New York's legislature voted March 7th to let voters continue to request an absentee ballot on the basis of COVID-19 concerns in school district elections this spring. Governor Kathy Hochul signed the measure into law. Assembly Majority Leader Crystal D. Peoples-Strokes, a Democrat from Buffalo, said on the chamber floor, and I quote, "I have to believe that there are some people who appreciate their right to vote, but still have not gone back to their church congregation yet because they're still concerned," end quote. Republicans disagreed, even as Greene County officials reported new COVID-19 deaths on March 3rd, March 4th, and March 7th. Lawler, who touted his own vaccination status and the need for the state to continue to push for increased vaccinations among the public, said, and I quote, "There has to be an end point, and we have to get back to normal course of action. But let's stop using this as a bludgeon to change every law we don't like," end quote. School board and budget elections are May 18th this year. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for the Columbia Green Media that a three-way mayoral race is underway in the village of Kinderhook. Two of the three candidates, Mike Abrams and Quinn Murphy, spoke March 6th at a forum sponsored by the Kinderhook Business and Professional Association. Abrams is running on the old Kinderhook party line, and Barry Knights, 57, is on the Kinderhook Old Timers line. Murphy, 19, is the Kinderhook People's Party candidate. Knights was unable to participate, citing a prior engagement, and he later declined to speak with reporters about the election. Abrams and Murphy answered questions submitted by the audience. In his opening statement, Abrams talked about the importance of leadership. Quote, "When we're choosing a mayor, we're not choosing a mayor who is just going to run day-to-day operations of our village," unquote, Abrams said. Quote, "We're also choosing a leader. We need someone who is going to set the priorities for our village and how we're going to continue to grow and prosper together. And we're also choosing someone who is going to impact how we treat each other," unquote. Murphy spoke about the village's need for a mayor who is open-minded, energetic, and proactive. Quote, "I see the opportunities that can make our village even stronger and safer," unquote, Murphy said. Quote, "Not only do I see these opportunities, but I have the practical ideas to actually implement them," unquote. He noted the importance of communication and outlined some of his ideas on how to improve that communication between the village leadership and residents. The candidates took questions about village parking, climate change, grant ideas, Airbnb regulation, and who the candidates would most like to have a cup of coffee with. Abrams noted his military background and how he founded and now leads a nonprofit organization that helps military veterans and their spouses secure employment. Abrams is a member of the village board elected in 2020. Murphy spoke about his experience as a lifetime resident of the village and how he's a political science major at Siena College. He talked about knowing, quote, "every little nook and cranny," unquote, of the village, which he says he knows inside out. Knights, the candidate not at the event, is best known for pulling a gun on a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest when it passed by his house in July 2020. Quote, "Protesters reported two Kinderhook subjects initiated a verbal argument while armed with a handgun," unquote, according to a statement from state police at the time. Now he says he was only, quote, "sticking up for law enforcement," unquote. Knights claims he never waved or pointed the gun at marchers, and the incident, quote, "had nothing to do with race," unquote. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson marched in the protest and said at the time that the couple came out of their home yelling obscenities at the marchers, and then Knight's wife waved the gun at the crowd before handing it to her husband. The couple was not charged with a crime. The winner of the March 15th election will replace Mayor Dale Leiser. The two candidates running unopposed for the two village board seats, Susan Patterson and Doreen Weir, also spoke at the candidates' forum. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Patrick Sicione, the chair of the Town of Durham Historic Preservation Committee, said he was not reappointed to his post after he gave a sworn affidavit in a lawsuit against the town board and a proposed housing development in the town. Durham Town Supervisor Sean Marriott then sent a letter to Sicione on February 27, telling him that his term on the Durham Historic Preservation Committee had expired at the end of 2019. According to the letter, and I quote, effective immediately, that holdover status will not continue and you will not be reappointed. Please immediately return all town and DHPC-related materials, etc., to the town hall within 24 hours, end quote. Marriott, though, won't own up to why he removed Sicione from the board. Marriott said, and I quote, he was not fired, he was reappointed to his position as chair. It was due to personal matters that I cannot discuss, end quote. Sicione disagreed. He said, and I quote, I am not an employee of the town. I was an appointed expert on this commission. The town openly discusses all appointments in public, so they can't hide behind calling this a personal matter, end quote. The lawsuit that Sicione participated in was filed in November in New York State Supreme Court by the Cornwallville Residents for Rural Preservation, a group opposed to building 12 homes in Cornwallville. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that the Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan announced March 8th the formation of the COVID-19 Commemoration Commission to develop a memorial honoring frontline workers and, quote, memorializing the lives of Ulster County residents lost to COVID-19, unquote. March 8th marked the two-year anniversary of the first reported COVID-19 case in Ulster County. Ryan has now named the 22 members of the commission responsible for, quote, citing and curating a permanent monument in Ulster County to tell the story of the response and impact of the pandemic, and to highlight how the entire community rallied and supported each other during the course of this once-in-a-century pandemic, unquote, according to a press release from Ryan's office. Ryan said in the release, quote, the COVID-19 Commemoration Commission will both highlight and service the service of our community members, from our doctors and nurses to our teachers and to our first responders and beyond, who rose to the challenge and risked their lives to protect us, as well as to memorialize the hundreds of lives we tragically lost, unquote. There's no cost estimate for the memorial yet, but it is expected to be included in the 2023 budget, according to Assistant Deputy County Executive Dan Torres. The members of the commission include Ulster County Legislator Chair Tracy Bartles, Ulster County Legislator Minority Leader Ken Ronk, Communication Workers of America 1120 Representative Rob Pinto, United Way of Ulster County President Stacey Ryan, and New York State Nurses Association Representative Estella Wush Aquino. The commission will hold its first meeting in April with a timeline for project completion pending budget approval in 2023. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Evelyn F. Preston reports for the Legislative Gazette that the Department of Environmental Conservation is warning New Yorkers that coyotes are now active. DEC Commissioner Basil Sagos said, and I quote, this is the time of year when New York resident coyotes breed and set up dens for pups that will arrive in the spring. While conflicts with people and pets are rare, New Yorkers should remain alert and follow DEC common sense guidelines to minimize the risk for potential conflicts with coyotes, end quote. Like with bears, residents should secure garbage and be careful with pet food. The DEC says, and I quote, if coyotes exhibit aggressive behavior and fail to show fear of people, or if it is spotted consistently in residential areas, people are urged to contact their regional DEC wildlife office for assistance. In emergency situations, people are urged to contact the local police department, end quote. Read more about this story at the Legislative Gazette.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.com. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, light snow mainly after 1 p.m. with a temperature high near 35 degrees. On Wednesday night, light snow is likely before 10 p.m., then a slight chance of flurries between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 27 degrees. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 48 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy, with a low of around 27 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, March 9th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM during our sustainable pledge drive. WGXC is trying to be more sustainable and asking you to become a sustaining supporter, giving like 17 cents a day or $5 a month, just a little bit. And if everybody chips in a little bit, then we get to keep the radio going. That's the plan. And likewise, WGXC is also going sustainable, going solar. Sometime this week, WGXC will flip the switch to become a solar-powered radio station. So you'll hear the following programs via the power of the sun on Wednesday, March 9th, hopefully, with Synth Eclectico on at 10 a.m. with the analog girl Ian McFarlane and Soul of Soul among the featured artists. 11 a.m., Maria Manhattan brings you the Hudson Cafe. And then we're live in Catskill on Main Street with Spike Priggin from Spike's Record Rack. There, he does the show live until 2 p.m. And at 4 p.m., we have the WGXC afternoon show live from ACRA. At 7 p.m., we've got the Off the Hook show live from WBAI in New York City. It's from the 2600 Hackers Collective, and it's all about technology, and they'll answer your questions, too. At 8 p.m., we have Music for the Masses celebrating Ghana's Independence Day, Neva Wartell in Catskill. And then at 10 p.m., it's time for All Mixed Up with Kate Bush, Steve Post, Joni Mitchell, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There are all sorts of local community events in the WGXC community calendar online, WGXC.org. You can even add your own there. There's a button called Add an Event. You press the Add an Event button and then fill in the blanks, and soon enough, your community calendar listing is on WGXC.org in the community calendar. And it's also being read on the radio right now, including the band Ballister comes to Kingston in April, April 13th. The international free jazz noise trio Ballister with saxophonist Dave Rempus, cellist Fred Lundberg Holm, and drummer PNL from Norway start their 2022 U.S. tour at Kingston's Tubby's. Find out more about this event, a link to Tubby's website, and more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Hi, This is Maria Manhattan from the Hudson Cafe here on WGXC, where original programming is the name of the game. If you're new to the Hudson Valley and want to feel more a part of this community, support community radio. Go to our website, WGXC.org, and click on Donate, or give us a call, 518-697-7400. Operators are standing by.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 9th. Early morning temperatures range from 26 in East Bern to 30 in New Forge. No nearby reports of snow have occurred yet, but that is going to change. Our area is getting some mixed precipitation today, and that should be mostly snow accumulating about an inch and a half by dark. A high of 34 degrees happens at 11 a.m. Snow tapers off by 10 p.m. And we will have a low of 29 degrees by dawn on Thursday, which will be dry with a high of 48 degrees at 2 p.m. 27 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly dry Friday with a high of 48. After dark, rain enters the area, turning to snow by Saturday morning. By noon, the change will be solidly to snow, then 2 inches is expected to fall by dark. Sunday looks like things dry out with a high of 35. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:30 a.m., high tide at 7:42 a.m., low tide again at 2:35 p.m., and high tide again at 8:19 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:40 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see minor geomagnetic unrest is expected as a CME is headed our way tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 408 kilometers per second at 3.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 93. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who'd also like to remind you that it's time to show some love to that community radio you love to leave on in the background all day. You know, your day wouldn't be the same without it. So help us keep the lights on by heading on over to WGXC.org. Click on Donate and become a sustaining supporter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Igers Kildas and Louisa Sabin Kildas of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat,
Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
An empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
News on the mark.
With one purpose only: to point out and make public the dishonesty, now in complete control of the government of this state.
There is only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good listeners. This is Sam Sebring from the Everything is Real Radio program and the Nothing is Real Radio Hour. There is very little I love more than creating these radio shows for you. Along with all of my fellow volunteer programmers and our small but incredible staff, we love turning you on to all kinds of sonic adventures at this open space for music, sound, and communication. But we can't do it without your help, and it's time to ask you for your support. Help to turn us on, too. We're looking for monthly sustaining supporters to reach a $5,000 a month goal of dependable income to cover our basic monthly costs. If we can just get 100 people to each donate $10 a month, we can reach our goal and hopefully end the need for pledge drives. If you enjoy all of the wild and unpredictable sounds we share with you, or maybe you enjoy Democracy Now! We're the only station in our area broadcasting that news source, or whatever you like about our diverse programming, then please take a minute to become a monthly sustaining supporter at whatever amount you can afford. I've been volunteering with the station since before we even got on the airwaves. We didn't used to have any community radio in Greene and Columbia counties. I saw the need, as did many others, for this incredible resource. An open platform emphasizing experimentation and exploration of new frontiers. A place where you and your neighbors can make your voices and ideas heard. A place for all of our different communities to engage with each other and publicize their events and issues and be heard. We are so lucky to have this incredible organization here now, and we can't afford to be without it. So help us meet our goal. Call 518-697-7400. Again, that's 518-697-7400. Or donate online at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. You will feel great. We are all in this together, and we can't do it without your support. Whoa, what was that? That's what I just love about this station. You never know what you're going to hear next. Thanks for donating. Peace.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Laura Hartmark with Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I wanted to hear some local perspectives on the invasion of Ukraine, so I'm headed to my book club to speak with two Russian members. I'm at the International Women's Book Club. We just finished making vareniki, and I'm here with ladies from Russia, Ukraine, Hungary, Moldova, Georgia, and America.
My name is Katya. I was born in Moscow and I grew up in Moscow. I moved to the United States in 1998.
Katya, what do you want Americans to know about what it's like being a Russian living under Putin?
Well, I think in the last 15, 20 years, the regime became progressively more autocratic, and it's just basically all of the independent media sources have went away until he Putin shot the last two radio stations that were not sponsored by the government just 2 days ago. And I think that really tells you what it is, what's going on there. He wants people to only listen to what he has to say and abide by his will. And that's why we're seeing so many protests and so many people getting arrested in Moscow and St. Petersburg and other places.
Katya, I know you're a professor who chose to immigrate to the United States. What's your experience with regard to freedom of speech in Russia versus the United States?
So actually, I started noticing very dangerous tendencies in Putin's and his government's discourse about Ukraine. A few years ago, they really started pushing the idea that the Ukrainian language is not actually even a language. It is a dialect of the Russian language. And I think that that's why it's just so dangerous to shut down all of the media sources that happened in the last 10, 15 years, is that when people who really abide by Putin's will start spreading false information, pseudo-historical information, pseudo-linguistic information, year after year after year, it gets into people's mind. And those who can, they resist. But there are a lot of people who don't have any alternative sources of information, and they really have no way to understand what's going on there. So that's why I just think that freedom of speech is so important, because you have to have the opportunity to listen to different sources, check your information, check your evidence, and that's hard, very hard to do now in Russia.
My name is Natasha. I'm a Russian immigrant who came here 23 years ago in 1999, actually same year as Putin became a president for his first term.
Natasha, as a Russian immigrant, you know, what are your feelings being here and watching the whole Ukrainian situation unfold?
I guess I'm the best description would be I'm just heartbroken, because lots of people are dying and suffering right now in this war, and much more suffering is ahead. I'm heartbroken because my mom is trapped in Russia now, and my children won't be able to see their grandma for a long time now, and maybe never. Because I'm heartbroken because, unlike in fairy tale stories, the evil is winning and is not losing. And what hurts even more that is it's winning in the name of my nation. I would like to tell, though, that it's not Russian war against Ukraine. It is Putin regime's war, but not only against Ukraine. It is Putin's war against the entire civilization, against the democracy, against its own country, Russia, and its war of evil against goodness. He is shelling Ukraine right now and threatens to push a nuclear button. If NATO gets involved, thousands of people already died, and maybe more will die. He is holding the entire population of Russia as a hostage now. In fact, the entire population of the planet in the case of nuclear strike. His action invokes economic sanctions, and rightfully so, but those sanctions will be hurting people, not Putin. In fact, he will have only more power over people who are broken financially. Also, more sanctions like prohibiting gas and oil imports from Russia will cause inflation all over the world, not only in Russia. He is arresting everyone who is there to protest against the war in Russia. There is an estimate of 10,000 people have been detained and arrested since the war started. Moscow streets are packed with police trucks, and face control camera allows them to arrest people days after they go outside to protest. He is putting the entire country in a bubble of propaganda and isolation by turning off the last sources of independent media in Russia. All the media sources that would dare to oppose the war are closed. Social media that is not under his control, like Facebook, is shut down. I expect him to cut the internet, shortly as well. But I guess it hurts the most to see how the evil is winning. Now, because how can I explain to my kids why the evil is winning if I have always taught them the opposite truth?
Thank you. Natasha, what did you always tell your friends back in Russia about Putin?
Oh, I told like all my friends, all my family. I've been like taking lots of fights with them. They would even refuse to talk to me about politics at all. Because from day one, I saw that he was evil. I mean, KGB, a person cannot be good. It's like I KGB people been killing people for years and years during Soviet Union. You can't trust them. You can't talk to them. You can't. I mean, the entire life is special operation. You know, nothing else. But people was almost condemning. Oh, he's democratic. Oh, we need like power. You know, powerful man. We need order. We need this and that. He's doing good for economy. We don't care about politics because we have fat pockets with money, and this was the attitude, you know. And later those rhetorics changed to, oh, we are Russians, you know, we are great, you know. That's hard.
Natasha, why should an American care about a war that's happening across the ocean?
I think every, not only Americans, each person should be aware of what's going on the planet Earth, because it's just so little. With nuclear weapons, everybody can be affected. Like, you know, the entire planet Earth can be destroyed, like, you know, very, very quickly. It's the first one. Second of all, Putin is not going to stop on the borders of Russia. And it was already demonstrated when he had a friend in, you know, as a president of the United States. I mean, we had, when I was listening Trump in the debates, when he was praising Putin, I knew that I'm not going to vote for this person just because he is praising Putin. For me, it's like, tell me who is your friend, and I will tell who are you. So unless you know about other countries and what's going on there, you're never going to know, you know, who is ruling your country. Also, I can tell that, you know, for example, now as a sanctions, they are taking away boats, like big boats, mm-hmm. of oligarchs. Mm-hmm. They're expropriating it, and I honestly don't think it's a good thing. I think you should know about this, because it's one thing to arrest the property, and another thing is take away the property. I think it's a constitutional right of people to have property, and if you want to take away something, even in the war, it should be done through a court procedure. I'm not imagining many Americans care it, but I think they should pay attention to such things when they're happening here. And as general, like, I'm an accountant, you know, I work here helping American people to file tax returns. And I've been destroyed for the last, 10 days. I wasn't able to work. So a lot of my clients delayed with their tax returns. So it's affecting them. It's like, you know, we're all interconnected. Like, it's so many ways. And unfortunately, everything affects everybody one way or the other. We just don't remember it until somebody close is hurt. But it is really so.
Mm-hmm. That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde, the guy who plays the 45s, with two big reasons to join WGXC. The first is, we're going solar. That's guilt-free radio. And second, your pledge now as a sustaining member will help civilians in Ukraine, thanks to a generous supporting match. Your first month donation to WGXC, with the same contribution to CNN's public good campaign supporting humanitarian efforts in Ukraine, and also to come back alive, giving support to the Ukrainian armed forces. Donate now and be a new member at wgxc.org/donate.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I'm thinking about the women in Ukraine fighting to keep their country free, and those holding their children, you know, holding them close as they flee to safety.
On International Women's Day, First Lady Jill Biden offered support for Ukrainian women, as well as women in Russia and other nations who speak up against oppression. Congressional leaders received an update from top intelligence agencies on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. CIA Director William Burns described Vladimir Putin as isolated and indignant.
I think Putin is angry and frustrated right now. He's likely to double down and try to grind down the Ukrainian military with no regard for civilian casualties.
Officials also suspect Putin remains confident that Russia can defeat Ukraine despite facing more resistance than expected. The Pentagon rejected a proposal from Poland to transfer fighter jets to the U.S. for delivery to Ukraine. Spokesman noted the plan's difficult logistical challenges, as well as threats made by Russia regarding arms being provided to Ukrainians to use against its forces. President Joe Biden announced a ban on all Russian oil, gas, and energy imports. While acknowledging the move will lead record high gas prices to climb even higher, Biden also said steps are being taken to ensure the reliable supply of global energy.
It's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true.
Republicans who supported the plan also called for increases in domestic energy production.
We should replace it with American oil, not Saudi oil, not Iranian oil, not Venezuelan oil.
That's Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. The average price for a gallon of regular gas hit $4.14 on Monday. Congressional leaders reached a deal to provide $14 billion in aid to Ukraine. The money will be included in a massive government funding package needed to prevent a government shutdown on Friday. Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is making the rounds on Capitol Hill, meeting Tuesday with Senate Judiciary Committee member Mazie Hirono. The senator from Hawaii said she's hopeful Republicans keep an open mind about Jackson's willingness to work with others.
One of her strengths would be her willingness and desire to listen to the perspectives of the other justices, and at the same time to be very clear on what her positions should be.
Jackson also met with Republicans Rick Scott of Florida and Susan Collins of Maine. Today, she'll speak with West Virginia moderate Joe Manchin, who holds a pivotal vote in the 50-50 split chamber. A Biden administration attorney urged the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to reinstate the COVID-19 vaccination mandate for federal employees, arguing the directive is within the president's capacity. The ruling was put on hold by a lower court judge earlier this year after a legal challenge from federal workers. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you're listening to the WGXC Sustainable Pledge Drive. Right now until March 18th, We're raising money to keep the radio on in the Upper Hudson Valley. 90.7 FM is the only frequency that is open to your conversation. You can do your own show on WGXC. You can call in. You can be a guest if you have an important issue to share. Just give us a call. Send us an email. Send us a text. However you want to communicate, we'll get you on the radio and let you communicate with others. That's the whole point of WGXC, is a soapbox for folks to stand on, a framework for local conversation, a place to hang out and hear what others have to say on local issues and what other local music and international sounds they have to share with you. WGXC is known internationally as a home for radio art, and it's basically the biggest radio art source in the United States right now. This is a rare station that pays attention to both the local community and the international radio world. You'll hear strange sounds on WGXC that you don't understand, and perhaps sometimes that's the point. The point of view of radio is in your head. You get to make up your mind while you're doing the dishes or driving to work about what you're hearing. Your opinion is not made for you, because while the conversation comes out of your speakers, the pictures that go along with it are in your head. So everyone that listens to WGXC has a different view of what they're hearing. We try not to make the WGXC sound like the voice of God, but our radio religion centers everyone in the story. Does that make sense? If you're intrigued, please consider becoming a donator today at WGXC.org/donate. Sustaining supporter for just 17 cents a day helps WGXC know that its budget will be met and lets us plan for new initiatives. For instance, this week we're installing solar panels on the roof at Wave Farm in Acre. It's going to make WGXC a solar-based radio station. Yes, solar-powered radio is what WGXC is now. We're working as hard as we can to make WGXC a sustainable part of the media ecosystem in the Hudson Valley, and we need your help. So please consider making a small donation today. $5 a month, 17 cents a day, will make you a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM. Just, if you have time, go to WGXC.org/donate and make a difference in your community. Thanks.
Thank you. Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. You like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. My name is Brad Monkel. I'm the host of Ear Candy, which is every second and fourth Thursday of the month from noon to 2 p.m. I interview musicians, comedians, and a bunch of different kinds of artists, and I do what I do because of WGXC. Thank you to the station, and I just wanted to let you know that they are currently doing their winter pledge drive, and right now all donations are being matched, and a portion of all donations for WGXC are going to help with humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter of WGXC today.
This is from the 2010 album recorded in Troy at RPI. This is The Decisive Moment from Scanner, Matthew Shipp, and the Postmodern Jazz Quartet from the album Blink of an Eye.
Thank you. Welcome to the phone-in. Today we have on our panel our resident psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who isn't resident but is staying with the other one because he can't bear to go home, and a psychiatrist who has lived with the first one but who, when the second one arrived, felt alienated and since has undergone a total personality change. Our subject tonight is farming, and our first caller is from Reading.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to phone-in. What's your question to the panel?
You're through now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello there, this is phone-in. What is your question?
Is Vic there?
Is Vic there? Is Vic there, Dr. Rogers?
Well, the problem here is a simple one. The caller wants to know if Vic is there. And in this case, Vic, as far as I can tell...
Can I chip in here, Alan?
Yes, of course.
I agree with what Rogers was going to say. As far as we can tell, Vic isn't here. The only thing she can do is to keep calling, and if Vic comes in, we'll let her know.
Does that answer your question?
Hello?
Hello?
Vic?
Yeah?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to phone in. What's your question?
It's Norman.
Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show. What's your question on farming?
Has he been round again?
Has he been round again? Professor Rogers?
Well, I...
Oh, no.
Professor Dibbs?
But he's been...
I think we've proved that Vic isn't here.
Oh, bloody kill it.
And therefore, he couldn't have come round again. It's a fairly simple case of non-presence.
Thank you, Norman. I hope that answers your question.
I'll go round there and kill him. Is he down a pub?
I'm sorry, Norman. Only one question per caller. And now we move on to our next caller, please, on farming.
Hello. My name is Mummy Badger.
Get on with the question.
Yes, I farm over 4,000 acres, and I'd like to know the panel's attitude to the viability of cereal production in